Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
I want to address this morning and make sure that we're taking time to pray about. As many of you guys have probably seen, Israel got attacked yesterday, and there's another war breaking out. And it's last I heard, Israel lost 200 and some odd people. Palestine has now lost 150 plus as well, as the retaliation is going back and forth. That we just take time, that we lift up these situations, put them in Jesus' hands. He's the one who brings about peace. And we just need to trust in that at this moment and to be with the families and so forth that are there. So let's... Offering plates are in the back. Feel free to give on your way out, but let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for each person that's here today. Father, I ask that we just come together as a church in unity, that we seek after you, that we glorify and lift you up. Lord, I thank you for each person that's represented here. Father, we want to take the time to lift up Israel and the people over there and the war that is breaking out. Father, we pray for peace this morning. We pray for comfort for all the families involved. Father, be with the leadership. May they make wise choices. May they seek you in their choices. Lord, we also thank you for our offering that you've given us. May we use it wise and use it for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The only news, Jesus, when I met you, you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
pen out of the darkness. And what a glorious day that was. How many of you guys can remember the day that you found Jesus? The peace that just surpassed all understanding, just overwhelmed you in a way that you can't explain to someone. When someone asks what it's like to find Jesus, who doesn't know Jesus, it's an issue that you just can't put it into words, that moment when you understand. And that's why we want to lift up people that don't know him, because we want them to discover that peace that we too got through Jesus. And so that's why here at the church, we always take time to pray for at least three people in our lives that don't know Jesus, that need that personal relationship, that need to look to our Heavenly Father, that are struggling. So at this moment, let's go to the God in prayer and ask for that peace and to lift up each one of the people by name. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we know we have people around us that are struggling. We have people who don't know you or that are following things that aren't true. Lord, we lift up each one of these people to you. Father, we trust you. Lord, we know we're not the ones who do the saving work. It is only you. Lord, we hand them over to you. And Father, may we speak with boldness. May we do it with grace and mercy. And yet let your light shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fail, never enough. But you came along and put me back together, and every desire now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place mercy and grace will find me alone. You turn beauty to ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only. my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no
Father, I ask that you soften all of our hearts this morning, that we hear your words that are spoken. Father, that we may have a new desire for a closer relationship with you, that we may not be satisfied with counterfeits, and that we solely have this desire to serve and to worship you and to be an example to the world around us on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, I ask that we learn to speak boldly, yet with grace and love. Lord, I ask that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not mine. And if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Amen. You know, last week, We took a look at the Sermon on the Mount, and we took a deep dive into what we should expect from our prayer lives. What we should expect when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. That when we go to God, we should have this expectation that not only will He hear our prayers, but He will answer our prayers. That God will answer our prayers with good things and not evil things. We were reminded in the text last week that sometimes God answers our prayers by saying no. And sometimes He answers them in ways that we could never expect. But He will always answer them with goodness and truth. Sometimes, though, and the reason that God sometimes says no, sometimes the reason the answers are different is because He can see things that we cannot see. He can see the challenges of life up ahead. Instead, we are called to trust and pray in all things. Trust that everything will work out at the end. But if we want God to answer our prayers, we have to be willing to go to Him in prayer. And we need to go to Him boldly. And that we should approach God with the full expectation that He hears our prayers. And this can be a very scary thought process when we go to God in prayer that way. I mean, what happens if He actually answers our prayers? What happens if we lift something up to Him and then suddenly it happens? That can be a scary part for us. Or we have this idea that things that we have are too small for God to handle. We're not worthy of being offered to God, yet He says He wants everything brought to Him. You see, it's through prayer that we are better prepared to face the world around us. Prayer is just as important as spending time in God's Word. We need to be doing both daily so that we can better know our Heavenly Father. This idea of getting to know our Heavenly Father is an essential part of our Christian walk. How can we know what we're called to do? How can we handle a situation and bring glory to God if we don't spend time with Him? If we don't engage in His Word, if we don't spend time in prayer, how can we be molded into a faithful believer of Christ if we don't spend time with the One who made us? How can we be transformed? You know, nowhere in the Bible does it teach us that our time here on earth as a believer is going to be an easy one. Nowhere does it say that everything will always go smoothly. Instead, the Bible reminds us over and over again that we are called to pick up our cross daily and to follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound easy. We're called to lift up our concerns. We're called to take everything we do and look to Jesus as we walk it out. The Bible warns us, though, that we will be hated because of Jesus. That our faith will not make us popular. That we're going to be countercultural in many things in our lives. That people around us are going to make fun of us. They're going to look down on us. They won't understand why we refuse to bend on the truth of the gospel. You guys, the reason we cannot bend when it comes to the gospel is because too much is at stake. The souls of people are at stake. Where we and our friends and our family and even our enemies spend eternity is at stake. This morning, we're going to look at one of those passages that will not always make us new friends. We're going to look at one of those passages that the world does not always like. It's one that cuts against the grain of society. A passage will go against the world in many different ways and the way that the world likes to perceive and believe things. But we need to remember that Jesus has called us to stand boldly and proclaim the fullness of the gospel, the truth of God's word, that we don't water it down. Too often the gospel gets watered down where people only hear what they want to hear. We know that the world is filled with false teachers and false religions all around us. Some of these false teachers have views that have even crept into the churches. These are things that are leading people to a life of destruction. These are things that are leading people away from the truth of God. We have churches and leaders in our world today that are taking people down a path that does not end with our Savior.
They're doing this through false gospels. Some of these teachings on the surface seem good until they come to the full light of Jesus. This is why it's important for us to understand the Word of God in its full context. This is why we're called not to pick and choose the scriptures that we like. This is why we're called to take all of our concerns to our Heavenly Father, to learn to walk in His light, to trust Him to take care of all of our needs, to trust Him to help us discern what is true and right and what leads to destruction. One of the falsehoods that is being preached in the world around us is that idea that all roads lead to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about the difference between us, the Baptist, the E-Free Church down the road. I'm not talking about the outliers of theology that have nothing to do with salvation, that us as mature believers can have conversations about. This has nothing to do with your view on how Jesus comes back and how the end time pans out. This has nothing to do with whether you get baptized by being dunked three times backwards, three times forwards, one dunk back. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It doesn't even matter if you're a Calvinist or Arminian. It doesn't matter on any of those things. I'm talking about the idea that anything outside of the finished work of Christ on the cross can lead us to heaven. You see, there seems to be this growing movement in our world that as long as you believe in something or a good person, you can have a ticket to heaven. Yet that's not what the Bible teaches us. Instead, Jesus teaches us in John 14, verse 6, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If we went to the world with this idea that every road leads to heaven, then there would have been no point for Jesus to go to the cross for our sins. Because we could have made it there on our own works then. You see, almost every world religion and every faith out there has this idea that a man is inherently flawed and evil, that we all have struggles that we face in our lives, which we would agree with. Yet the difference being that all other religions, people have to earn their way to heaven. That it's through their own works, their own understandings that they can achieve heaven. Yet the Bible says that none of us are good enough on our own. None of us are capable of making it on our own. You know, God gave us the laws in the Old Testament. He showed us what was expected of each of us. He showed us what His standards of living were and what was expected of us here on earth. And none of us could keep it. And that's why He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross. That is why He sent Jesus to be that sacrificial lamb that was needed to make a way for us to be restored to our Heavenly Father. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. If all road leads to heaven, that would make Jesus a liar. And there would have been no point of Jesus going to the cross at that moment. We need to remember that when Jesus was in the garden the night he was arrested, just before he was put up on the cross, he prayed a prayer and said, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But if not, your will be done. And we know there was no other way. There was nothing else that could be done to restore mankind to himself. Now, when we say things like this, the world gets upset at us. They call it unloving and unkind. Yet the most loving and kind thing we can do is to speak truth to someone. Yet here's the kicker. Make sure you're doing it with a humble heart, with full love, with the understanding that it's because you don't want to see anyone perish. And you're willing to stand up and speak boldly. Jesus reinforces this idea in the first set of the passages this morning. He warns us of this very same thing that we're facing in the world today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23 this morning for those who want to follow along. And we're going to start by looking at the first two verses, starting with verse 13, where it says, Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. Verse 14 tells us, How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. You see here, Jesus is making a distinction between those who choose to follow him and the rest of the world. The narrow gate represents that not everyone will choose to follow him. It's not the popular gate. That the narrow gate is often going to be the most unpopular option to the world around us. Instead, he points out that the wide gate leads to the road, the broad road that many choose. You see, the wide gate and the broad road is choosing this world over the true God. It's the one where we rely on our own understandings, our own way of thinking. It's this idea that we can work out our own way to heaven. That if we're good enough people, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. This is a normal human tendency where we like to rely on ourselves and our own self-righteousness. We love to lift ourselves up. We don't need anyone else. But we're called to look to the cross and what Jesus did there. I think the reason the world often looks to the wide road, even why some who call themselves Christians find themselves over on the right wide road, is because it looks so much more comfortable. The wide road has room to move about. You don't have to worry about shifting into other lanes. You can adjust freely as you choose. Yet when we look over at the narrow gate, it tells us in verse 14 that it's going to be a rough road. It's going to be a road that is difficult. Jesus is telling us that the road is not often traveled. It's one where we will see pushback from the world around us. It's not the popular choice, and only a few decide to walk that road. But that is the road that leads to eternal life. Jesus follows this by teaching us that we need to be on the lookout for false teachers. He says in verse 15, "Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves." You see, false teachers come along to pull us off the difficult road. They come along to guide us away from the truth. In the early church, there was plenty of attacks from the outside world towards the Christians. In fact, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the early ages were killed for their faith. They were used in horrible ways. We're aware of them. Even as believers today, there are those who make fun of our faith, those who openly mock us, those who would like to see us to be destroyed if at all possible. We've all heard it said over and over again, be careful of the world around us. To be careful that we don't allow the world's temptation to overpower us and the snares of the devil to bring us down. We know we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We know that we're called to be different than the world around us. So often we see the world around us as the biggest threat to our faith, our biggest threat to our relationship with Jesus. When in truth, Jesus is warning us this morning that there's a bigger threat to us all. It's not the outside world. It's the false teachers and prophets that are coming into our churches today. It's the one that likes to cause trouble and turmoil within the churches. It's the ones that are gossiping behind closed doors. It's the ones that are bringing stuff up and not having that honest conversation, causing division within the body of Christ. It's the one that often teach a false gospel, that prevent the truth of God's word often for their own benefit. The problem with false teachers is they often look like us, they talk like us. They use words like us. They'll call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet they cause division within the body. They speak behind closed doors. They will use words like sanctification and salvation. They will use words like grace and love. Yet they have a very different meaning behind them. False teachers will often use deception to gain trust and work their way into a church. Well, they will start to change the word of God. They will be sly like the devil in the Garden of Eden and ask questions, did Jesus really say that? You will find some of them no longer call sin, sin. Or they will move away from the grace of God and placing salvation based solely on our works. They will try and lead people astray and back out to the wide road. The world we live in today is filled with false teachers. Just as it was in Jesus' day. offering up many different false gospels. Some of them at first glance seem nice until you get down to the nitty-gritty of it all. Let's take a look at a couple of them this morning. First, let's take a look at one of the most common ones we hear in America today. We can find it all over TV and radio all the time. They're the ones who often say, send me 1,000 and I'll send you 10,000. Well, God will bless you with 10,000 is what they say. It's called the prosperity gospel. It's this distorted view of Jesus saying that he guarantees his followers a happy, healthy life with no troubles. Don't get me wrong, Jesus wants us to have good things. He will heal us. He will help us overcome the troubles of this world, but he doesn't mean that we won't face such troubles. Jesus suffered in our world. For those of us who call him Lord will face many sufferings as well. He even says in John chapter 16, you will have suffering in this world. He tells us in Mark chapter 8, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. The truth is, we follow a suffering Savior in a fallen world affected by sin. Our Jesus did not avoid suffering, but entered into it to help bring about our salvation so that we could be restored to our Heavenly Father. There's another false gospel out there, and some don't even know they're living it. I like calling it the cheap grace gospel. This one proclaims that Jesus is my righteousness and perfection, so I can live however I want because at the end I'm saved. Sometimes these false gospels have an air of truth to them. There's a little bit behind them that would come true, that is true. I mean, Jesus is my righteousness, and I'm only perfected through him. But that doesn't mean that we can now live a life however we want. Yes, we have freedom in Christ, but we're set free from the powers of sin in our lives, in our lives, and we're supposed to call to represent Christ, not to remain in our sin, not to continue to live in any way we want. We're called to hand it over to Jesus. Paul even addressed this question in Romans 6, verse 1, when he says, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may multiply? He responds in verse 2, and he says, absolutely not. How can we have died to sin and still live in it? You see, once we come to Jesus, we're set apart. We're set free from the powers of sin. Faith does not give us the freedom to stay in our sin. It frees us from sin frees us from sin in our lives, showing us to be different than the world around us, pointing others to the love of Jesus and the transforming work that he's done. On the complete flip side of that, we have the Jesus Plus gospel or the works-based gospel. This is the one I grew up in. It's the one that says that we have to earn our own salvation, that we have to be good enough for a chance of salvation, that is based on our own works to get us into heaven, that if only we're good enough, if only we follow all the right rules and we do everything exactly right, that we make sure that we stick to all the old traditions. You know, yes, it's not in the Bible, but we've done it for 100 years, so let's keep doing it. That's the one here that oftentimes causes this problem where people feel like they can't live up to it, and they actually walk away from the faith. They don't look at the point that God sent his only son to die on the cross. No way is this an exhaustive list this morning. God sent his son to die on the cross for each one of us because he loves us. But there's many false gospels out there that are removing the cross, they're removing the purpose of Jesus. But all of these gospels, these false gospels that are no gospels at all, start off with a bit of truth behind them. They all start off with some good points, but they twist the scriptures. They move it in a direction that the Bible does not say. You may wonder, how can we tell if one is true or false? Jesus tells us in verses 16 through 20, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. He is saying we will know the truth of them by the fruit that they bear. We will know them by their teachings and the results of it. If we look at the prosperity gospel, for an example, we see that people who have believed that gospel, and they believe that God would never allow a single bad thing to come into their lives here on earth, even though we live in a fallen world. So when they hit hard times in their life, it brings about a panic in them. It brings about concerns. They start to wonder if God even loves them. They can find their foundation of their faith completely wrecked and shaken to the core because they have been told falsehoods about God and what they should expect from him. Where for those who know that this road is rough that we travel and that our faith is in the fact that the Holy Spirit is right there with us, moving with us. When we look at the cheap grace gospel, we see people that look like the world around them. Though there's no difference in their life. Yet Jesus said that we should be different, that we're called to be God's temple, that we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We're called to be set apart from the world. Yet underneath the cheap grace gospel, there's no difference between us and the world. And the last one, the works-based gospel, is solely based on our ability to be good enough. There's really no hope in this one. There's no real joy that comes from Jesus. There's no rest that comes from it. I've seen more people destroyed with the weight of their own sin that are tucked in underneath this works-based gospel. There is no freedom for them. Yet Jesus promised us freedom in Christ. You may wonder why this is all so important this morning. We know some of the things this morning are not necessarily the popular side of society to talk about. Well, I want to share the last little bit of scripture that we have in our passage this morning. 21 through 23 tells us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. First, on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" Think about that passage for a minute. Think about what we just looked at there. There are many who call themselves Christians. Jesus is warning, they won't make it at the end. There are many in this world right now that are walking down a path that doesn't lead to Jesus at the end. There are people walking along the broad road that think they're on their way. These are people that go to churches on Sundays. These are people that volunteer within their churches. These are people that believe themselves to be saved, yet they've not fully trusted in Jesus. They've relied on themselves. They've taken on this falsehood. They're not living a transformed life. They've been led astray by false teachings. Salvation is on the line this morning. Where you spend eternity is on the line this morning. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, there is a heaven and there is a hell. You will spend eternity in one of those two places. And the only way to heaven, though, is through Jesus and his finished work up on the cross. And when you come to it, he will transform your life in ways that you've never imagined. It doesn't mean that life is suddenly going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't have struggles in your life anymore. There will still be moments that sin will creep in around the corner. But it does mean that you no longer have to carry the burden of sin on your own. That you can trust that Jesus has already made that penalty and made a way for you to be restored. But we no longer have to carry that burden. And as long as you're breathing, it is not too late to make that choice for Jesus this morning. As long as you're breathing, it is not too late to turn our lives back over to where it belongs. In Romans 3:23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means that none of us are perfect here on earth. Since the fall of Adam in the garden, there has been sin all around us. Each one of us affected by it, destroying life after life. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's this idea that because of the sin that's in our lives, death is the problem. That's where the end solution is at this moment, until we have Jesus. Our sin is pointing us to death, but Jesus is pointing us to eternal life. And that sin is what separates us from God. But God loved us even whilst we were still sinners. It tells us in Romans 5:8, "But God proves his own love for us, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, it's not that we got our lives in order and everything came to be perfect. It's not a waiting until later and life suddenly gets itself worked out and then I come to Jesus because after I got it figured out, Jesus went to the cross for me. No, before you even knew his name, he went to the cross for you. Before you made any before anything else has happened, before your life got turned around, Jesus went to the cross for you before that moment. As you were still sinning, Jesus went to the cross for you. There's a love that he has for you. And God proved his love for us at that moment. And he tells us in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For you are saved by grace through faith, that it is not from yourself, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. It is strictly by the grace of God that we have been saved." It is a gift from our Heavenly Father. You know, this idea of this gift is really hard for us. This free gift in America is one that can be a real struggle for all of us, isn't it? There always seems to be a string attached to it. Why can you get Facebook for free? Because they make a mint selling your information for advertisers. Why can you use YouTube for free? Because they get all this money from advertisers. When you sign up for a free product, what do? They may ship you that product, but you got a million and one emails coming after that with a whole bunch of more products they're trying to get you to buy. This idea of free is hard for us to wrap our minds around, but God already made that payment and gave it to you free before you were even born. He made that way for you at that moment. And the only way that we can to receive that free gift, the one that the Bible tells us about, all we need to do is what it tells us in Romans 10:9-10. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with their mouth, resulting in salvation." It's that simple. It's that easy. We simply need to go to him, and he is ready for you. I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, if you're ready to make that choice to follow him today, you simply need to turn to him in prayer this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, we lift up each person inside of this audience. Father, we lift up each person that is listening online and the radio. Father, I don't know who the message was for this morning, but Lord, we know that you've got this all planned out. We trust you inside of all of these moments. Father, we know we have hurting people inside of our community, around the world, and we even have people here. Lord, we pray for each person here. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, he is knocking at your door asking you to turn to him. If you don't know Jesus this morning and you're ready to make that decision, I encourage you to lift up your hand. Be bold about your faith, this desire, because he is calling you home today. And then repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, I'm tired of the life I've been living. I'm tired of the things that have been going on. and I know only you can save me. Lord, I turn my life over to you and accept that free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you find yourself this morning needing to talk more, or you have questions, I want to encourage you to come find me after service or find one of our elders. In the meantime, let's stand and let's praise our Savior. Amen. All right, there I am. As we go out this week, may we remember that our lives were bought at a very precious cost. It was Jesus up on that cross. And he made a way for all of us to be restored. There's no false gospels to follow.
There's no way we earn it on our own. There is no such thing as cheap grace. May we go out and boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus to the world around us. May we do it with love and kindness in a way that makes others want to know what's different about us. Go in peace. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.